privilege to be here in your house this morning. We thank you for the Word of the living God. We thank you for your supernatural power that is given to us simply by grace. We thank you for loving us the way that you do. We thank you for knowing every need that we have. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are here to praise you and to love you and glorify you. We are here to open your word that is an absolute necessity in living the Christian life. I pray that you'll give us the spiritual understanding we need this morning, that we may spiritually apply what we learn from the Word of the living God. Father, I thank you for everyone that is here. I ask you to bless each and every one of them according to their needs. Father, again, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus went to the cross. Thank you that Jesus paid our sin debt in full. And thank you for the privilege that you give us by grace through faith to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name, that it be to your glory and to our advancement in the kingdom of God and maturity in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You'll notice the title this morning to the printout that you have is The Supernatural Power to Fight and the Supernatural Power to Forgive. Well, let's begin with the introduction. Paul had lived much of his life in the combat zone, suffering sabotage. Underline that word, sabotage. The word sabotage means obstruction of normal operations. So Paul was used to things being upset and turned over and turned inside out in his life, but it did not set him back in any way, in any time, in any situation or circumstance. So Paul had lived much of his Christian life in the combat zone, suffering sabotage, rejection, defection, and also betrayal. Yet even after all that, the apostle still maintained a victorious attitude that was completely untainted by bitterness. As he faced death, Paul was excited about his remaining days on earth and absolutely thrilled at the prospect of seeing Jesus Christ. Paul knew that absent from the body meant to be present with the Lord. He knew that when his time had come for him to leave this world, to leave the physical body, he would be delivered into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There he would be in soul and spirit, awaiting his resurrected, glorified body. Now let's look at the question. Number one, how did Paul do this? How did he maintain victory in the midst of all the hardship, adversity, and the suffering that God allowed him to go through? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I hope you have something to write with. We have several notes to take this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Timothy, my. Underline the word my. And the word my refers to who? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to take a note right here. Where is Paul at this moment? Well, according to history, he's in a what? A damp, dark dungeon, and he's probably going to pick up his pen for the very last time as he writes before his day and time of death. Timothy, my dear son. Underline that word, son. The word son means the one living in full dependence on his heavenly Father. And then it goes on. The one gladly submitting to the Father. One who can be trusted to reflect his Father's character and his Father's perspective. Timothy, my dear son, be strong. Underline that word strong. The word strong, when you look it up in the Greek language, means made able. Now, if I'm going to be made able, that tells me that there's something in me that I don't have that I need to live the Christian life. It means made able, empowered. This is the Lord sharing His ability to accomplish all He grants for faith. Then here's the tense of it. It's a Greek present imperative, which means keep this action developing. It also means repeat this again and again in every scene of life. It also means a continuous active cooperation with God. And we don't stop there. And I think the last thing I'm going to say on this particular word is very important, and I hope you will write this down. It takes supernatural strength to be a Christian. It takes supernatural strength to be a child of the living God. I don't know how many I talk to that say, Terry, I am really frustrated. I am disappointed with the Christian life. And here's my response. Do you know what it takes to live the life of Christ? Do you know what it takes to be a child of the living God? It takes the supernatural power of God to be given you, to be received by you, and also put into action to be the Christian that God calls you to be. So can I live Christianity in my own strength? The answer is no. Can I live it by my own intellect? The answer is no. It's not by how much I'm educated. I can only live the Christian life and be successful in it, doing what God has called me to do, carrying out the purpose and the plan of God, only by receiving the supernatural power of Almighty God. So it takes the supernatural power of God to live the Christian life. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace. Underline the word grace. The word grace means the Lord's favor freely extended. Did you know you're a child of God? If you know that, and I hope that you do, and you became a child of God by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And it all came by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace, the Lord's favor freely extended. Do you need the Lord's favor to live the Christian life by the grace of God? The answer would be yes. Here's another definition of the word grace. It is unmerited gift, an unmerited gift of help God gives to the needy. So what do I need to admit as a child of God that pride doesn't like, neither does Satan like? That I, even as a Christian, am a needy Christian. As a needy Christian, I need the superpower of Almighty God. As a needy Christian, I need the grace of God doing for me what I could never, ever do for myself. As a needy Christian, I need all God can give me. And that's what Paul is beginning to focus on in talking to the young one named Timothy. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives. Underline the word gives. The word gives is a grace gift. So God gives you something. It's a grace gift. You need it, and it's found only in Jesus Christ. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Underline the word Christ, and let's define the word Christ. The word Christ in the Greek language means the anointed one. I have a question. When was Jesus Christ anointed? The answer, in eternity past. Is that non-negotiable? Absolutely. Jesus Christ will always be the anointed one. Jesus Christ will always be the appointed Savior. Jesus Christ will always be the appointed judge. Jesus Christ will always be who He has been all the time. Now listen, the anointed one, fully God. Was there ever a time that Jesus was not God? He has always been God. Turn to John chapter 1. You should know this very well, but it's a good verse of Scripture to mark so you can go to if you're talking to someone that doubts the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. It is a little plainer. You can understand and follow. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. The word beginning here means in eternity past, before anything existed or before anything was created. The only thing that existed at that time was the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, in eternity past, before any creation, before all time, was the Word. We know that the Word here refers to Christ. And the Word was with God. The word with in the Greek means face to face. So Jesus Christ and God the Father in eternity past were face to face with one another. And the Word was God Himself. Verse 2. He was continually existing in the beginning, before eternity past, co-eternally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, Jesus Christ, and without Him, not even one thing was made that has come into being. Now go back to your printout, if you will. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Now, He is Christ. There's another definition here. The eternal pre-incarnate one. Before the virgin birth, Jesus was what? Christ. Jesus was God. Jesus had what? No point of existence. All right? He always existed. He was always there. And I'm going to be honest with you. I talked to one lady that lost her mind because she tried to figure out how all of this started, how it all happened. You can't do it. It's by faith that you believe that Jesus Christ has always existed and that Jesus Christ is eternal. And at the virgin birth of Christ, He was as much God as He has ever been. All right? Look at the word Jesus. The word Jesus means the incarnate. All right? When He was flesh, He was the eternal Son of God. So here's the main thing. There never was a time that Jesus wasn't God. He has no point of origin. He was always God, and that will never, ever change. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Now look at that word strong. The word strong here refers to an inner strengthening. An inner strengthening. What is Ephesians 5:18? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled, be divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit. That is going to lead to an inner strengthening. So strong here refers to an inner strengthening that I cannot give myself. It is a strengthening, it is a supernatural power that I receive by the grace of God. It also refers to a supernatural empowerment. I know sometimes when you talk about this, the Baptists say, Terry, be careful, you're getting into AG territory there. Well, I'm not getting into AG territory because this is the Word of God. So even as Baptists, we must understand we cannot conjure up the Christian life. The Christian life is given by Jesus and it's going to be maintained and furthered by the supernatural power of Almighty God. So the word strong refers to a supernatural touch that's going to come from God on a person's life that strengthens and empowers. Question number one, how do you move beyond fear? How do you move beyond fear? I want you to listen very closely, because there are some things we've all done that we need to not do them anymore. And you're saying, what is it, Terry? Here we go. Question, how do you move beyond fear? Listen, in order for Timothy to move beyond his fear, we would have said, by human persuasion, by human thought, we would have said this, get it together. Don't say that anymore. I've said it. You ever said it? Somebody's frustrated in your family, your son, your daughter, maybe a good friend, maybe a good church member, and they're not moving. They're not stepping forward. They're not going beyond fear. If you send them to a man, and it's a young man, he's really going to get a talking to. Boy, this is what you're going to have to do. So you might as well suck it up and get it together. I can't do it for you. That's a true statement. So we would have said, get it together. Don't do it anymore. We would have said, be strong emotionally. Sounds good. Don't do that anymore. Quit your belly aching. Please don't say that anymore. Now listen to me closely. In order for Timothy, this young man, and he's going through a lot, to move beyond his fear, he would require a supernatural touch from God. Timothy, sickly. Timothy, emotional. Timothy, young. Timothy, timid. And what does Paul say? Be strong in grace. He didn't need to chew out Timothy. It wouldn't have done any good. It wouldn't have helped him any good at all. He didn't need a chewing out. He didn't need human persuasion. He didn't need human intelligence. He didn't need human pride fired at him. He needed somebody like the Apostle Paul that says this, be strong in the grace, the favor, the supernatural power of Almighty God. That's what will move you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So in order for Timothy to move beyond his fear, he would require a supernatural touch from God. Number two, would just telling him to change be enough in his case? No. And how many times have you said this? You need to change. And you thought you were doing something good. Listen to me. You said. You've got to change. If you don't change, you don't have the power to change yourself. This is a power that is given after someone receives Jesus Christ, his personal Lord and Savior. And then you have the opportunity to receive the supernatural power from Almighty God to fight the fear, to fight that you may move forward. Making sense? We just kind of get it bass-ackers, don't we? So would just telling him, number two, to change be enough in his case? No. And what happens? The fight is on. I'm telling you, you've got to change or get your clothes and get out of here. Paul didn't tell young Timothy that. Paul was way beyond that. Paul was so bathed in the grace of God The only thing that could come out was the grace of God and the favor of God, and say there's some supernatural power waiting for you to receive as a child of the living God. It's yours and it's a free gift. Come and get it. Timothy was so affected by fear that only a supernatural touch would put him back on his feet again. Number three, is supernatural power, which is divine enablement, available to assist you during your crisis? The answer is yes. So don't forget that. Are you in a crisis right now? Is there some adversity, some hardship right now? I mean, it's giving you fits. And you're saying, what in the world do I do with it? God says, I've got it. It's Christmas morning every day of your life. And I'll give it to you anytime you need it. Number four. Do you have to face terrible circumstances alone? No, not ever. No, not ever. Number five. Is God's power available to give you just what you need? Yes. Isn't that something? God is the giver. I wonder why God's the giver. Is God all-knowing? So God can give you exactly what you need in the moment and in the days that are coming. Is that correct? So good. Here's what it means. Terry, get out of the way and let God do the giving. Just get out of the way. Most of the time, we're in the way. And we want God to work a miracle. We want God to bring something about that we're just dying to see. And God is just saying, would you just step aside for a moment? I told you in Scripture, I'm the giver of my favor, my supernatural power to all in Jesus Christ. Now trust me and get out of the way and let me do my job. Amen. I guess I'm getting a little harder here in my old age. Y'all okay? What must you do to receive this inner strengthening and empowering? You know what it's inner. Reach out. Take it by the hand of faith. What is faith? Faith is trust. Faith is confidence. Faith is divine persuasion. And where does all that come from? God. And what does God do today to get it across? What does God do? He says, get in the Word. He's given us the Bible, it's the Word of God, and He says, now get in it, okay? Now, that divine power that is available, He won't force it down you, to you, and that's part of the good news, it's available to the child of God. Now, let's go to page 2. Okay? You got 2 Timothy 1:8? Now listen to what he says. So do not be ashamed. Underline the word ashamed, please. Question. What is the formula for not being ashamed? Number one, supernatural power received. Brother, if you've got the supernatural power of God, you got it. Now that's something the Democrats just can't knock. You understand? Okay. Secondly, supernatural love. That's agape love, comes from God to the Christian. And then the last thing is self-discipline. What is the formula for not being ashamed? Supernatural power from God, supernatural love from God, and also self-discipline. Now, there's a second thing you need to know, the tense of this. Joey, this is a long one, okay? Here we go. Greek, the word ashamed is a Greek negated aorist imperative. You got that, didn't you? Okay, here we go. You know what that means? It means never be ashamed. Paul said, don't you ever be ashamed to present the gospel. Don't you ever be ashamed to present the Bible as a Gideon. And he says this, if your pastor ever gets thrown in jail for the gospel, don't be ashamed of him. Partner with him. See what he's saying? So do not be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Not even once, the Greek tense says. So don't even think about it. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or about me. Now get this. His prisoner, not Rome's prisoner. When you decide to live by the Word of God, to carry out the will of God, you'll never be anybody's prisoner but the Lord's. You got that jotted down? Yeah, that's important. His prisoner, not Rome, but Christ. Did you know Christ put him in that damp, dark dungeon? You say, Lord, I'm fixing to die. I'd really like some light. I'd really like some good food. He said, Paul, it won't be long. You're going to get all the light you can handle. And I'm going to provide for it. All right, here he goes. But with me, take your share of suffering. Underline, but with me, take your share of suffering. Here's what it means. Endure hardship with someone. Be a true partner. Take your part in suffering hardship. For the gospel. Underline the word gospel. Hello, Joel. And I'll tell you why I thought of Joel Osteen. The word gospel here includes the entire Bible. You remember I heard him say one time, God just called me to preach feel-good messages. That is a lie straight out of hell. Amen. God is not going to contradict himself. Is that true? So the word gospel includes the entire Bible. The gospel centers in the Lord himself, Old Testament, New Testament. The gospel, listen to this, the gospel, the good news of Jesus with that supernatural power and grace will correct everything that needs correcting. The gospel will correct everything that needs correcting. For the gospel continued to preach regardless of the circumstances in accordance with the power of God, for his power is invincible. So the combat zone had almost fatally wounded Timothy, and he was thinking about giving up. You see why Paul says, we got to partner up. Point one, with all Timothy's knowledge, experience, and years in the ministry, he was living far below God's plan for his life. I wonder how many Christians are right there. You've been going to church how long? You've had a Bible how many years? And where are you living? Below or above? 2 Timothy 2:1, so you, my son, be strong, constantly strengthened and empowered in the grace that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. In the grace. In the grace means be strong by means of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace makes this supernatural strength available to every Christian soldier. But you know what? You got to take it. It's available. Take it. It's a gift. It's a free gift. What is a gift? On Christmas morning, all I can do is hand you the gift. I can't cram it down your throat. I can't make you use it. It's a gift that's given. Take it from his hand and use it as he has instructed. Very quickly. Question number one. Does God's grace ever run out? No. This means there is a never-ending supply of inner strengthening available to you. And this is where Satan steps in and says, forget it. How many days have you been wrestling with this and talking about this and trying to make something happen? You need to back up and get away from it. It's done. Jesus says, I never run out. Amen. You may say, I'm going through a horrible situation. I'm overwhelmed. I feel terrified. A spirit of fear is trying to wrap itself around me. Now, what is this spirit? The spirit is a mindset or attitude of fear. It's not the Holy Spirit. Trying to wrap itself around me. I need a supernatural touch from God. And you're saying, Terry, I've heard all of this. We're down to page 2. We're about to stop. How do you do it? Hang on, I'm fixing to tell you. I need a supernatural touch from God. Then receive this freely by means of God's grace. You can't walk in this power any other way. Listen to this, please. If you want to walk in the supernatural power of God and that supernatural power to work in your life, it won't work by worrying, by fretting, by trying harder. Boy, how many times do we do that? It's always delivered to the saints by means of grace. You're saying, Terry, that's a little bit too easy. 2 Timothy 2:1, here we go. Different translation. Thou, therefore, my son, lay hold, that's your responsibility, of a steady current of God's power, which comes to you as a result of His grace. Now, here's the answer. We've talked about the supernatural power of God. How do I get it? Well, we've touched on it. Question number 1, here's all the answer. What is involved in the laying hold of this supernatural power of God that is available to me, that is available to you? Here we go. Faith. Faith. What is faith? Trust. Confidence. I'm living by divine persuasion. I'm living by the Word of God. It is faith, a relationship of trust. Let me ask you something. When you ask for this supernatural power, do you really believe you'll get it? Do you think that's the biggest problem in the church today? Lord, I believe, but my unbelief is very strong. Faith, a relationship of trust in Him, Jesus, based on His what? Word. You got to stay in the Word of God. You need to get you a Bible. You're going to have to read it and ask God to interpret it, what you need to know of what you're reading, based on His Word and your determination. So what's Satan going to fight? Number 1, to keep you out of the Word. Number 2, he's going to just try to wreck your determination, so get ready for it. Your determination to do what? To stay the course. Stay the course. What does that mean? Get in your lane and run. You say, Terry, but I got to stay in my lane all the time. What did the Apostle Paul said? Brother, they were falling like what? Drops of rain away from me. Falling away. Great number of them. And what did I do? I stayed in my lane. I stayed with my calling. I stayed trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I finished the race He set before me in my lane. Let me tell you something. When you and I as Christians get and stand before the judgment seat of Christ, do you think He may want to know if you stayed in your lane? Well, I tried to help so-and-so over here. He said, well, that's good. Did you stay in your lane while you did it? He said, brother, I birthed you. I gave you your existence. I put you in the lane I wanted you to run and live in. I gave you a grace gift. I gave you purpose. I gave you direction to stay in your lane and carry out the will of God I had for you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I can't thank you enough for your word. It's everything we need to have the faith we need, to have the relationship we need, to know that we have a supernatural power to fight and a supernatural power to forgive. So there's some things we want to stop doing, right, Lord? We need to stop. It's giving all of this human persuasion to another person to say, you need to do this, you need to do that. We are not capable of it. We may be Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, but it takes the supernatural power of God to live the Christian life. Pass it on. It's not about me and my intellect. It's about Jesus Christ and His grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.